will manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life. It still gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good morning, Real Presence Radio listeners. We are coming to you live from St. James Coffee in beautiful Rochester, Minnesota. The weather actually has been very nice here. There is no snow. It is not raining today. We survived the full eclipse, which is very exciting. We have a great show for you today. Father Kazel is actually on pilgrimage, I think, in Italy. So you get the pleasure of having me for 2 hours today, which is very exciting for Coffee Talk Radio. And I would just like to start off the show today with a prayer. And very fittingly, our first guest released a movie in theaters called St. Michael the Archangel. So we are going to start off the show today with the St. Michael prayer. So if you will please join me in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just had one of those moments where I just forgot the words to the prayer, and I was like, I hope Oscar is going to be saying them out loud.
Well, I'm here for you, Melissa. You know that. You know, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. So, yes, we have a very exciting show today. I have Hollywood film producer Oscar Delgado, who lives in Rochester now, one of my good friends. We have Kristen Van Uden on a little bit later. And then, very excitingly, at the top of the next hour, we have Bishop Robert Barron, who is our bishop here in the Diocese of Winona-Rochester. And then we will have Amy Cummings on for our last guest, who will be talking about Steubenville-Rochester. So without further ado, my first guest, Mr. Oscar Delgado, would you like to do a little intro about yourself? You're a very interesting human being. So tell us some cool stuff about you.
Some cool stuff about me. Well, I don't know. Well,
do you need your press release to read about yourself?
What did I actually do? What am I here? Where am I? You know, that famous Radiohead song. Well, how did I get here? Anyway, I love being here with Melissa and Real Presence. One of my loves is the media. So I was a NBC bureau chief for Latin America for many years. I covered wars. That was my specialty, is to cover wars. And then I transitioned into film producing, and I've had a couple of films out there, Purgatory, Love and Mercy, and my final one that just came out, St. Michael Meet the Angel, which, thank you, was very well supported. Melissa was an amazing publicist here and did a great job getting it the theaters filled locally here, and we were number 3 in the box office that day. So had a couple of showings, and unfortunately now we're kind of trying to get Amazon, who wanted us, and we hope to get it on soon on that platform. Hulu is also wanting us. So in the future, we'll have exactly where it's going to be streaming. And what else do you want to talk about me? I love being here. I love, again, the media. I'm a big fan of Bishop Sheen and the Sheen Foundation. Evangelization is, like, in my lifeblood. And I love this next movie's coming out, Jesus Thirst, which I'm in it, and very important. That's going to be in the theaters June 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2 showings. So we're getting ready for that. And more than anything else, it's about changing the culture and bringing back values, bringing back something interesting that people can awaken. We can't be asleep, guys. We got to be awake. And Real Presence Radio is one of those things that you have to kind of really support and move forward on, because we really need those kernels of truth and seeds of evangelization, and we have to do that. So I'm very grateful for them and this show and the St. James Coffee House and everything else, because those are what we call green sprouts that you can see around this country and around the world, that there is pushback. So we got to make sure that we support the radio and support Catholic filmmakers. And, you know, when St. Michael Meet the Angel, go stream it, see it. And when this new movie comes out in the theaters, Jesus Thirst, I'm giving you a big heads up in June. That would be also very important. So what else do you want to know? I mean, I don't know.
Oscar likes to talk. This is great. What I kind of wanted to talk about, too, is, like, the different levels of evangelization. Like, I, every day in the coffee shop, it's relational ministry.
Right.
It's person to person. Every time I encounter someone, I'm Christ to them. You know, my job is to just love them. Your job in media is a little bit different. And, like, our and Real Presence Radio as well. Like, it's more like a... I think there's a speaker called Sarah Swaffer, and she called it, like, shotgunning, where you kind of go in and blow a hole, and then
right.
the small people in relational ministry like me, you come in and then you walk with the people.
Right.
So how did you get to be one of the shotgun people that is, like, the overarching, we're just going to blanket cover people with things to, like, open doors for people like me to then do the relational ministry?
That's a great question. So, you know, I've always been... Catholic, in a sense. I've always, you know, tried to do my best, being but, you know, falling short in the eyes of God. But when I was in the war zones, especially when I was in Baghdad, and it was just very tense, I remember when I was interviewing Saddam Hussein.
You interviewed Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very exciting. I didn't know that about you. Anyways, continue. Sorry, there's a moment of shock there.
Okay. She just jumped out of her chair, ladies and gentlemen. She's just throwing
That was
okay.
very exciting.
So what happened, it was during Christmas Eve. And I always knew, again, it goes with St. Michael, I always knew that we need to invoke protection, especially when you're dealing with evil. So it was Christmas Eve before the Gulf War started. I was there in Baghdad for NBC, and, you know, they blindfolded me. They took me around. Stripped me down to my underwear, put my hands in this liquid to make sure I didn't have poison. So I went there, interviewed him, and it was interesting because halfway through the interview, which has never happened before, whether it be Castro or any of the other dictators that I've had to do, I started getting a coughing fit, which was unbelievable. So I couldn't continue the interview. I asked for, like, a break. So, you know, Saddam didn't shoot me at that point, so I said, okay. And the other thing is you had to make sure your feet were down on the floor. You could never face him, because Arabs, that's a very big insult for the Arab culture. So anyway, went out, did a prayer to St. Michael, calmed down, came back, finished the interview. But that became famous because he had talked about turning this the sand into blood with the U.S. soldiers, and he was going to attack Israel. So that was the first time. So it made international headlines. But I've always known in what I was doing is that there was a spiritual component, a template, overlay to what I was doing in covering war. And I knew eventually I would be able to take that knowledge and use it for evangelization. So, you know, there's an awakening there to understand that we're in a spiritual battle. I was witness to it. I mean, the manifestations of war is because of the spiritual lack of spiritual understanding of what we're the rejection of God. So... And this is the Fatima, no? War comes out because people have rejected God. So there you go. So I was always trying to do those type of things. So finally I transitioned from news to films, and I started doing that. My first secular film was The Learning Curve, which is a secular movie. But I wanted to get my hands into the, you know, that type of a world. MGM released it. Did very well. And but it's a secular movie. It has a point to it. Violence. And then I started then going, so you know what? I want to do more faith-based films, and so I started to gravitate towards that, and that's what I've been doing now. So that's my story.
So how does like your war correspondent to Catholic movie producer, like what did the transition like actually kind of
well,
look like? Just discernment, like,
well, there's always a discernment, but I always love films, you know. I mean news is like 3 minutes, right? You just do your you know you cut your package, you shoot it, you cut it. I mean, I was a producer, so I wrote a lot of it for the talent, whatever, and put it together. But then it's gone, right? You're there, boom, it's on the air, gone. But I wanted something a little bit more permanent. So, and I was just, it was like a little bit empty, you know? I just like, okay, do I want to keep, you know, covering these wars? And then I had kind of like an intervention of the family that came in and said, you're killing us. Why are you going to these war places? You don't have to do that anymore.
Isn't that really where your mother? Like,
yeah, my mom just said, you know, enough. You know, what are you doing? You're killing me. So, yeah, something happened in Mexico that allowed me to transition out of news and into films. And so that was a blessing. And so I just said, okay, well, Lord, you want me out of the news. I'll start doing films. And, again, being a big fan of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, you know, being on the foundation for 20 years, I was like, okay, he's my kind of a model for what I wanted to do. So I just said, okay, let's try to do this and see how it goes. So far, thank God, it's been okay. And I mean, I get to hang out at this coffee house.
That's true with me,
you know,
yeah.
With Melissa. So what else is there? There's really nothing else.
And what is it like to be Catholic in the film industry? Like, well, has that changed over the years, like acceptance-wise, or is it something more like you had
well,
to hide?
I think it's – well, here's the thing. I think that it's segmented, right? So, you know, you're seeing now, if you look at the box office, even the head of the cinema theater chains just had this speech 2 days ago and talked about, you know, they're down, but they don't go to the root of the problem. So the root of the problem is they're making films that are – crap.
Yeah, no one wants to see.
So, but we've got a niche, you know, and that's growing. Fathom has done great, and there's other.
Because Fathom is like an independent. For those of you that don't know, it's like an independent.
Right, it's an independent
distributor
that works with the theater chains, but they get a cut of whatever you do. But it's been really a great because people come out to see films that faith-based films. They like it, you know what I mean. And so the Hollywood continues to go down the downward spiral. Where this industry is where it's growing. So, and in terms of like how has it been received? Well, I've been really respected because I've got a news background, so they don't look at me as like straight, you know, evangelical or just straight, you know, Catholic crazy, right? They look at me as like, oh, this guy was a real deal, and then he just transitioned in. So
yeah, so because you didn't come in as a Catholic producer,
right,
you were already the war correspondent, and so you were familiar, and they're like,
right.
Oh, now he's just the Catholic war correspondent.
Right, exactly. So it's just like a little bit more of credibility there. So gravitas.
All right. Yeah, when we're going to be taking a break here in a couple minutes, so I don't want to get too deep into too much. But is it fun working in producing movies?
Yeah, it's a blast. I really do. Because I enjoy it. Because I look at, like, for example, St. Michael of the Meet the Angel. What I did is I did the bonus features here in Rochester, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so
yes, you did.
I did. There's a beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe that I, at a hill. It's like, you know what? I want to use that as my bonus features. And I shot everything there. So it was great. And that instance, I'm able to go local and produce it for the worldwide, you know, for the worldwide. So I like doing that. And I like producing. I like, you know, being a producer. Because at the end of the day, I mean, when we reach the king, when we go up before him, I want to have my hands full of good works. You know what I mean? That's the thing that's important, you know? Because I've got, you know, a charity covers a multitude of sins, as you know, Melissa.
Yes, I do know.
And so we're trying to, like, I'm trying to, like, get my way with works into heaven a little bit, or less of purgatory. So
yeah, I'm always like, I'm trying to skip purgatory. So I either want to be martyred or I got to do a lot of good stuff while I'm here.
Well, that's just good. And so, and
keeps
she's
me
doing
busy.
It. Yeah, and she is doing it. So yeah, so we're just trying to do that. So that makes it fun. You know, I'm enjoying it.
And it gives you the ability, because I know you do quite a bit charity-wise. Like there's some chapels that you have financed.
Yeah, there's an adoration chapel as well. I mean, the funny thing now is because Melissa and I both like food. And so should I wait for the break to tell you something about ice cream, or should we wait till after?
Maybe we'll wait till after the break.
Yeah, so here you go. Keep your ice cream ready. Okay.
Yeah, an exciting story about ice cream coming up. But I could tell you that. There was one day Oscar was in here, and he was like, I gotta show you something cool. And he had a Zucchetto from Pope John Paul II. So I'm trying to lobby to get him to let me use that as a relic in our Adoration Chapel. Because technically, my chapel is the St. John Paul II Adoration Chapel.
I don't see any. Do I see a picture?
There's a stained glass window right there of it.
Okay.
So I thought if I mentioned that on air, it would put some pressure on Oscar to donate the relic for use in our chapel for a while.
Yes, I can do it on loan.
You can do it on loan. Oh, see, this is perfect. All right. But yes, we have plenty next to talk about with Oscar. So, we'll be back after the break here at St. James Coffee with Oscar Delgado, Hollywood Catholic film producer.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network. Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Some say that our age of relativism, the belief that there are no absolute truths, began when the philosophers of the Enlightenment divorced reason from reality. Indeed, David Hume wrote that reason exists only to serve our own agendas. Contrast this with great thinkers like Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine of Hippo, who each taught that reason is at the service of reality. And because of this, the human reason can reason their way to truth. In John Paul's famous encyclical Fides et Ratio, he writes, "Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. Millennia of Christians have held that faith without reason is brainwash, and reason without faith is blind. So today, when you're thinking through an issue, ask yourself, is my reason serving reality, or am I twisting reality to serve myself?"
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
For centuries, healthcare has been central to the healing ministry of the Church. Today's technologies offer exciting possibilities, but also serious moral questions. More than ever, we need healthcare leaders who serve with integrity and conviction. The University of Mary answers the call to prepare leaders anchored in moral courage in a breathtaking range of programs from bioethics to nursing. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back, Real Presence listeners, to Real Presence Live. We're coming to you from the one and only St. James Coffee, the only nonprofit Catholic coffee shop in the nation that has an adoration chapel with the real presence of Jesus inside. It's always fun to say that, because someday it might not be true and someone's going to, like, correct me, but...
Somebody will steal that. Oh, my gosh.
We'll see. Hopefully no one steals that, because I can't say we're the only one. I could say we're the original one, though.
Well, you're the original. And you are an original, so there you go.
Yeah, so if you missed the top of the segment, I am here with Catholic film producer Oscar Delgado. And then coming up at the half hour, we'll come back with Kristen Van Uden. We're going to talk about, if you haven't seen Cabrini, speaking of movies,
yeah,
we're going to talk about Cabrini a bit in the second segment. And then we're going to have Bishop Barron on at 10, which is very exciting. And then Amy Cummings from Steubenville, Rochester, or the Steubenville Conferences. So stay tuned for all of that. We have a packed show today. But Oscar, ice cream. Ice cream is one of my favorite things.
I know.
Ever on the planet.
So there's a local shop. And again, this is something I did but it's something that the listeners can, you know, take from that and do their own little takeoff for that or originality. So what happened is there's a place called here, Flapadoodles. Flapadoodles. All right, Flapadoodles. So there's one in the north and south. There's two stores, homemade local ice cream. And, you know, I go there a lot. And so what they do is they encourage the customers to come up with flavors, you know. And I'm a foodie, just like Melissa. Like many of you guys out in the audience, I'm sure you're foodies.
Who doesn't love ice cream?
Who doesn't? Like, I know, really. So then I had this inspiration again. We pray to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So I was like, you know what? I have an idea of creating ice cream flavor. But, you know, I don't want to create it and have my name on there. And that's not what I'm into. You know, I'm into doing something that I can use for God's purpose, you know, for God's glory. And I was like, you know what? I got this flavor, and it's called Oscar. Well, I wanted to call it Oscar's Apocalypse Now, but the owner of the ice cream shop thought it was a little bit too much.
A little too dramatic.
A little too dramatic. I like, you know, like drama, like Melissa. So then what I did was they called it Oscar's Snackadoodles. And so I came up with this flavor, vanilla-based with Heath, Oreo, and chocolate chip. And so I said to Matt, I said, look, I'm going to create this ice cream, but I want a portion of that to go to this homeless shelter or they deal with the homeless called The Landing, which is another story when the guy who started it was a nurse at the Mayo Clinic, and he quit because he saw this problems with the homeless. And it happened to, so again, divine providence. I always go to FedEx, and he was in line in front of me. His name was Dan Fields. And he started telling the manager, like, he's making these business cards and story about why he's doing it. And I was just listening in the back, and I'm like, and so I was prompted. So I had, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of orders. I said, you know what? I heard your story, and I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to be your first donation. So he was just like in shock. So that was the first donation of The Landing. So the last couple of years, I've been just keeping an eye on it. But I said to Matt, the owner of the coffee shop, or the
ice cream
shop. See, I'm here at the coffee shop. She gets me confused. So anyway, I'm here. And so I was like, you know what? I'll create this flavor, but I want a portion to go to The Landing. And he wrote back. I said, that's never happened before. I was like, well, there's always a first time. So fast forward, we raised close to $2,000. And so it goes there. It's been a very big hit. The media has loved it. We've gotten a bunch of interviews. I've been on the local stations. The newspapers covered it. So, I mean, and again, that's what we can all do, right? Take something that you love out there and, you know, use it for something good. So if you love to create any type of art, or you create that, you know, get a portion and give it to the people that are most needy. And so that, again, Corporal Works of Mercy. So that's my story with ice cream.
Because we do that for them with coffee, actually. Our local coffee roaster have a bag that's The Landing. And $5 from every purchase of every bag actually goes to the homeless day shelter. And then during October, which is the Right for Life month, a lot of times people focus on the unborn that month. But as Catholics, you know, respecting life from conception to natural death, the homeless population is in there
right.
as well.
Oh, that's great.
So during that month, I actually focus on taking donations for the homeless day shelter. Like clothing, right. especially coming into winter. Winter in Minnesota right. is not nice. And then, we get food and all kinds of things, and then we run the tip jar. And then all of the proceeds, like, from that, from October, go to the homeless day shelter instead. And then we do, like, pregnancy centers other months. But it's a beautiful thing about our faith to be right. like, this is not just about
praying.
It's right. not about praying. It's about action. It's about loving people.
Exactly,
it's about
right.
doing the things that Jesus would do.
Right.
Which is just...
right.
Yeah, the works of mercy.
Corporal Works of Mercy, exactly.
And clothing people and right. feeding people. Like, Jesus yes. was very specific. He set right. forth a few things about that. He right. literally said a few things about
right.
that. So, I mean, even me running the coffee shop, I can work through that.
Right.
Just by loving and serving people and then just giving from our first fruits to
right.
those other nonprofits that need our help. And just raising awareness, too, that, yeah, in the bigger cities, the homeless problem is not great.
Right.
And they definitely need our help in just getting people to open their hearts and minds to that idea, whether it's through ice cream or it's through
right.
coffee.
Right.
And those are two of people's greatest addictions,
right.
I think,
there you go.
That are legal. That are legal.
Okay, I'm not saying a word. Listen, I mean, be quiet.
Yeah, they're legal things that people tend to have a problem with. But yeah, then we can use those to love people
right.
that need our help.
Right.
Which
use
is awesome.
Talents, which
yes,
is
yes. Gifts and talents, they tend to steer us to where God wants us to be
correct.
Doing things. But anyway, so yes, I love ice cream and I love coffee. So, but enough about that. I want to get into your movie. So a couple years ago, you had Purgatory in the theaters.
Right.
And I remember I went and I saw it not knowing it was your film.
Right.
And you came in afterwards and I'm like, what is Oscar like doing in the theater telling us to wait because there's some bonus
right.
features at the end?
Right.
And then I didn't know you were even a film producer at that point. That's how incognito and normal he is. You'd never know just by looking at him. So how did Purgatory come about?
Well, it's one of the things that we wanted to do to focus on. Again, what I try to focus in on are things that that I think are important for the faith now. So Purgatory was one. You know, people forgot about Purgatory, and it's like, we really got to bring that up. Which is really important. Love and mercy, divine mercy, which is very important. Again, for me, that's one of my core missions about bringing the message and devotion to divine mercy. And this last one, St. Michael, it's about understanding the evil that's around us and what do we do to combat it, and invoking the angels and the archangels to help us combat this rising of evil. So everything that I try to do in terms of my film work is to try to awaken a different aspect of our faith so that people can just know what's going on. And so now the next film, Jesus Thirsts, it's critical. It's about the real presence, and people don't believe in the real presence. So it's really important that that also now becomes an aspect. And so that's what I want to do. I want to do things that that I think are necessary in our church to kind of rediscover. I think that's the right word. It's there, but we got to rediscover. So now it's Jesus Thirst is the next thing up. And again, in theaters, June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Nationwide, and it's going to be in English and Spanish.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, so it's going to be completely bilingual. And
it's now, is it going to be subtitled? Because, like, Purgatory was reading subtitles.
Right.
So my dyslexic daughter was like, Mom, this is the worst thing ever. So I kind of had to. I took her a second time, and I read them to her. And then she really enjoyed the film.
Okay.
And then St. Michael the Archangel also. There was a lot of subtitle reading.
Right.
So will this one be
This will be all English.
Oh, perfect.
So it'll be good. Or Spanish, whatever language you want to go. So, yeah, we're very excited about this. I mean, I think Jesus Thirst will be the next. It's like the next show up. As a producer, I think, what's the next show up? What does Jesus want us to do next? So, for me, that's the next thing up. Obviously, St. Michael and the streaming, once that gets straightened out, the spiritual warfare, and we'll eventually win, but it just takes time. I always say it's like, it's not how God looks at us, I think, is like not what happens to us, it's how we react to what happens to
us.
Yes,
absolutely.
And so, I'm upset about St. Michael and not being on the platform, even though I was on many different other media outlets. Get ready, here we go. And then I got bombarded. Wait, we don't see it, Oscar. What happened? So, it's a little bit egg on my face, but it's not me. It's like, what am I going
to
do?
And it's a good reminder that spiritual warfare is a real thing. Like,
it's a real
thing. Secular world likes to try to tell us that all that's going on is what we see in front of us, and that is not true.
No. Right. There's an intangibility that's around us that we need to tap into. So,
and invoke the angels to
invoke
protect
the angels,
us.
Right, exactly.
Which is a beautiful thing. And then the Jesus Thirst is the miracle of the Eucharist. And
Correct.
We have been in the Eucharistic revival.
Correct.
Is that nationwide or is that just our diocese?
No, it's nationwide.
I was going to say, because I know Bishop Barron, who will be on at 10 o'clock, he was at a conference where they came up with the idea and they kind of instituted the three-year revival. So I think this comes at one of the most perfect times, because year three, we're really on the tail end of hopefully really rejuvenating the belief in the real presence in the Eucharist.
Yes, it's really critical that we do that, because 70% don't believe. So, it's important to revive that, because it's essential. It's the source of some of our faith. So, we really encourage people. I know it's early, guys. I know it's early, but, mark your calendar, start talking about it. It's coming. Jesus Thirst is coming, and that's the next show up.
And I just think it's beautiful, because you have hit on three of my favorite things about the Catholic faith. If I was not Catholic, number one, purgatory would bring me in immediately, because I need a safety net. There's no way I'm going to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect to get in when I die. So I'm like, if you don't have purgatory, man, there's a lot of pressure to live your life perfectly well.
Right.
And then I love the idea of the angels and the saints as well, that we have people in heaven that are helping us here on earth, like the church triumphant is helping the church militant down here. And then the church suffering in purgatory, it all just kind of goes together. And then that we have Jesus. Like, I work with Jesus every day.
Right, there
and some Catholics don't even understand the real presence doctrine, as we've stated. And then non-Catholics that go in there will ask me what's locked in the box on the wall. And I'm like, well, there's something very special in there. And, someday you might be ready to hear what it is. But you might think I'm crazy if I actually tell you. So, so yes, you have this beautiful film coming out that is going to, shotgun it for the rest of us again. And then I expect an influx of people coming in asking questions about it. Because that's what happened with St. Michael the Archangel, is people were like, what is this? What do Catholics actually believe about this? Because when it's in the news, the non-Catholics are listening.
Right.
They're always listening to what the Catholics have going on.
Right.
And then they come in and they'll ask a safe Catholic that they actually like. They'll ask them the questions that they're wondering about. And then I get to come in and then help them understand, which is...
It's great.
It's a beautiful gift.
It's a good tag team, baby. It's a good tag team. We're tag teaming.
So thank you for what you do.
Thank you for what you do. So it's good.
Well, you make it easier for me to do it, so which is pretty awesome. And thank you for fighting the good fight. Hollywood is not a nice place, and easy to go the wrong way when you're in that
environment.
When you're in that circle, in that environment. Yeah. All right, but thank you, Oscar, for being here today. He got his free mocha.
Which is why I came. I mean, I just want to make sure I get free mocha here.
Yeah.
I said, what's my swag?
Yeah, if you come in studio and you're a guest live, you do get a free drink from me, which is a very exciting thing. Yeah, that's all we've got from Oscar this morning. So up next on Real Presence Live, the film Cabrini was released into theaters last month by Angel Studios. Went and saw it. I was thrilled with it. We'll discuss the film and the life of Mother Cabrini with Kristen Van Uden, who will also share companion books that continue where the film left off. So stick with us. You don't want to miss it.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Are you thinking about making a gift to Real Presence Radio now or in the future? The easiest and best way to help further our work is with a gift of cash or a gift of stock. These two types of gifts have an immediate impact on our mission. We can begin using the resources you provide to further our mission of evangelization right away. Experience the joy of giving. Call Mike at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
This is Father Bo Brown from the Diocese of Duluth. A lot of times us as Catholics, we struggle with the Holy Spirit because the Father is so approachable. He has a name that's very, that we all know, right? That we can relate to, and the Son as well. And when we get the Holy Spirit, oftentimes he can take this kind of back seat in our relationship with God. And we see early on in the book of Acts and the disciples in the early life of the church, we see how they live with the Holy Spirit and they express to us what it's like to live with Him and how He both sanctifies what they do and their ministry and gives them special gifts, and also how He sanctifies their own lives. And they talk about how the Spirit brings certain effects in their life, like joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. So I think it's good for us to think about today. What's our relationship with the Holy Spirit like? Is He a real person in our lives? We have the same kind of relationship with Him that we have with the Father and the Son.
Let us run to Mary, and as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.